Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
We are unpacking the era of Nasrallah. Who was he and what did he do? Joining us on the line to unpack now what will follow, we welcome once again Kanan Lidor, reporter for the Jewish News Syndicate. Kanan, good afternoon to you. Thanks so much once again for coming on board the show.
Good afternoon. I always say yes, but especially to talk Nasrallah.
Once again, Kanan, thanks so much for joining us. Kanan, do you have your radio on in the background?
Yes.
Oh, excellent. That's much better. Kanan Lidor, reporter for the Jewish News Syndicate. Kanan, looking at a headline today in the Jerusalem Post, and I quote, "The era of Nasrallah is over. The era of his legacy has begun." What are we looking at here? What does this mean?
Well, I'm not sure I agree that his legacy has begun, because Nasrallah has captured the minds and imaginations of Arabs throughout the world on a doctrine that turned out to be false. And that doctrine was the cobweb doctrine. In a famous speech in 2006, after he emerged in good shape from the Second Lebanon War with Israel, he said, informed the world that Israel is like a spider web. Mm-hmm. It looks robust, it looks intricate, but actually it's paper thin, and it'll just tear in the wind. The slightest breeze will rupture it. That's what he said. He predicted in that speech the demise of Israel in the near future. And he conducted himself in this way. It was the first of several fatal errors that led to his demise, and I would suggest the demise of his legacy.
Okay, but despite that, we've always got those rabid followers who will read something into his legacy. Has this in any way shaken up or rather dawned some kind of reality upon the Hezbollah group?
Well, he certainly has his place in the legacy of jihad. He's a source of inspiration, is a shaheed, definitely. But will his successors continue his line? Well, let's unpack his legacy indeed. First, he believed that Israel is far weaker than it appeared, and so it can be pushed around. That led to his decision to trickle Israel into virtually submission, because Israel evacuated the north, and he thought that basically Israel was so weak that he could get away with this harassment of Israel without invoking a major attack on Lebanon that would destroy the Lebanese state, where Hezbollah has had a precarious hold on power, and that he would do it without inviting terrible damage to his organization. He was wrong on both fronts. But before that, Michael, he made another serious miscalculation in terms that are unrelated to Israel by allying himself with Bashar Assad in Syria and allowing his troops, throwing thousands of his troops into this meat grinder that was the Syrian civil war, alienating even to a higher extent so many of Lebanon's residents. So he was really on thin ice already, and then he provoked an entity that he miscalculated, and that really brought ruination to Hezbollah. It's unclear whether this organization can even rise up from its ashes, not because of Israel so much, but because of how its defeat has weakened it in Lebanon itself, which is a very, very tight situation there, with Christians and Druze vying for power. And the Shiites, although they are a sizable minority, they're not in the saddle, and definitely not now that Hezbollah has had to withdraw north of the Litani River. That said, we do need to acknowledge that he was a special personality. Look, when you look at the terrorist bosses of Iran's proxies, you know, they're basically thugs that grew up on the streets. You know, I'm talking about people like Sinwar and his likes. Nasrallah was something different. He was a philosopher. He was a scholar. He was a gentleman. And he was deeply, deeply passionate, emotional. He would break down in tears when speaking about the Prophet Ali. So that really captured the hearts of people in the region, and they're going to remember him. But will his political legacy continue? That's doubtful right now.
No, Kanan, I was speaking to a guest earlier on. We certainly are living in interesting times and behind-the-scenes developments happening at this point. No, Kanan, we're going to have to leave it there. Once again, thank you so much for joining us on the Afternoon Overdrive. Kanan Lador, reporter for the Jewish News Syndicate. Anton says, spiderwebs are made of one of the strongest known materials. Nasrallah would be wrong on this too. Your thoughts on that, on Nasrallah's interpretation of Israel's, shall we say, structure as a spider web which will eventually collapse? I don't think so either.